You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I dream of how we used to be in the day, the less convenient day, and how far from how that is today. Oh golly gee, Miss Susie B, won't you come back home?
Welcome to the IDP Show. I'm your host, Josh Raymer, joined Adam Markham in the Sode Shack. It is a beautiful Friday afternoon, and we are thrilled once again to be joined by one of our favorite guests. You know him from Football Guys. He is the author of the Bloom 100 that we will be discussing today. It is Sigmund Bloom. Sig, how are you, my friend?
Great. Especially since I saw you guys today. This is a fun time of year, like we talked about before we started rolling. Everything is possible, and it's energizing, stimulating to think about all the possibilities and know that less than a week, we will be in a new reality, in a new NFL. The plate tectonics will happen. There will be earthquakes. We'll pick up the rubble and start to put the pieces together in a way to, if not help our fantasy teams, at least make them more fun to manage this year.
Yeah, Adam, there's a lot of stuff happening behind the scenes with these NFL teams that we don't necessarily get to see. And in the draft, everything comes to the forefront. So you were saying before we got on mic, this is probably your favorite time of year for the NFL calendar.
I think so. I mean, combine, tampering, and then the draft.
That's right.
And everything after the draft, you know, that's when it gets real fun in our fantasy leagues. But yeah, this is the best. This is what it's all about right here. Month and a half stretch.
Yes, it's full of hope and possibilities and new beginnings. And
yeah, hope's always nice to have.
It is nice. Yeah. We haven't been crushed by 12 weeks of an NFL season yet, right. And doors haven't closed yet. And a lot of doors are about to open with the 2024 NFL draft today. Like I mentioned, we are talking about the Bloom 100. What we want to do is have Sig on today to help us get a top-down view of this draft class and approach it a little differently than how we have with some of our other conversations leading up to now. So, Sig, one of the things I really like about the Bloom 100 is that you give an overview of the rookie class, each position specifically. You say, what kind of draft is this for PPR, for tight end premium, for big play, for tackle heavy? And it's this kind of roadmap, top-down roadmap view of the draft class. So let's start right there.
Mm-hmm.
Overview of this rookie class. What are your impressions about this class as a whole, especially compared to previous years?
I want to say first, before even answering that question, even how we ask this question is implicated right now because of true position. And I'm still, when I'm putting together the Bloom 100, I'm still wrestling with the idea of how does the edge pool being deeper and wider and the off-ball linebacker pool being more shallow and smaller, how does that affect how we value players? And I mean, when you think about that and then you look at some of these rankings, it actually even disguises how poor this class is. Sorry, not to cut to the chase, but I think that from an IDP standpoint, you have a great edge class, not necessarily a Myles Garrett, Julius Peppers kind of prospect, but you have great reinforcements coming. And also, again, let's not forget, guys, we're trying to get points for our fantasy football teams, but I think you're missing most of the fun right now. If you're playing IDP Dynasty Fantasy Football, if you're not simulating that you're a GM, you know, like, what really appeals to you? What appeals to you? Dallas Turner with it's just, I mean, he's the prototype. He's, you know, of what you want physically at the position, and he's coming on. You've got Latu, who has this interesting medical question, but he looks like he's ready to be unleashed right now, as far as marrying traits and motor and strategy as a pass rusher. And then you got Jared Verse, who's more like Aiden Hutchinson, you know, just a battleship that is, you're not going to stop. He's going to seek and find his way to the quarterback with will and size and functional strength. And you like that, I think, as the headliner of this class from an IDP standpoint, is that choice or that group, depending on your scoring system. You know, linebacker, the cornerback, safety. I mean, the main thing here is it's a linebacker class is, again, usually we get at least one off-ball linebacker in the first round. We're not going to this year. I think the odds are like minus 1,400 or something like that, you know, a linebacker not going in the first round. And corner and safety, you don't necessarily have a generational prospect, but you certainly have some players that are going to find some jobs. So I think that the main thing you take away from a 30,000-foot view is to kick IDP down the road, another block in your drafts, and trade for cheap IDP production from veterans if you feel like you have holes to fill in this class. You have to be patient with this class from an IDP standpoint, but there's still a lot of fun players, and there's still going to be some impact players when we look back in a year or two, or maybe even halfway in the season.
Yeah, Adam, there's a lot to chew on here that Sig mentioned. A lot of conversations that we've been having as well. The edge pool, we've talked about this a lot, deeper than it's ever been, loaded with talent. We've gotten so many good young edge rushers who have come into the league recently to help kind of supplement this older guard that's aging, you know, getting closer to that age 30 kind of season or point in their career. So you have a deep edge pool. And because of true position, you have, for fantasy football purposes, like Sig mentioned, a dwindling kind of three down linebacker group that you can pull from. So that affects how you approach your draft. And then something you've been talking about is, how is your league set up? Oh, yeah. How many defensive players are you starting in your roster at defensive end or edge versus linebacker? Because that has an even bigger impact than, say, scoring does. So from an overview standpoint, we don't just have this class specifically, its strengths and weaknesses, but you're overlaying it with these other factors that people need to be weighing as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And to speak more to that, I've got actually some data here from the top 115 finishers last year. And this kind of speaks to the depth of the position, but out of the top 116 finishers, 41 edge rushers had multiple 20-point games versus 24 linebackers, 21 safeties, 19 cornerbacks, and 11 interior defensive linemen. So that's 35% for edge rushers, and the next closest was linebacker at 20%. But yeah, I mean, that tells you right there, much deeper, a lot more people that are putting up big plays and those huge weeks. And then it's just a numbers game. I mean, there's only at most like two relevant off-ball linebackers per team, right? And so, you know, at safety, you're going to likely have two per team. Cornerback, you're going to have like two or three. These days. And then edge, sometimes you have like three good edge rushers. Sometimes you have two, you know, defensive tackles.
Especially if you're just playing DL, that makes that pool significantly deeper if you lump in IDLs with edge.
And so when you multiply all that by 32, you know, 32 teams in the league, I mean, that just tells you the pool you're dealing with. And yeah, linebacker is just shallow, and especially like impact linebackers, yes. Right? I mean, it's hard to find like linebackers that have the capabilities of putting up 150 tackles on the year, but also have like the ability to put up like five sacks, you know,
playmaker
15
types.
TFLs, right? Yep. It's just a rare thing to find these days. So yeah, I'm absolutely with that. We've been talking about that a lot lately.
Yeah. Sig, something that I think is hard to reconcile, at least for me though, is linebacker. I totally agree. I think it is becoming a more valuable position, even in big play scoring type of leagues. But how do you reconcile that with this class specifically, where I think if you polled 10 different people who play IDP, you'd get 10 different answers on their top three or four linebackers. So it's like this interesting conundrum right now of if you like linebacker, how do you approach this draft? Because it feels like opinions are very mixed on this class.
Yeah, I think the opinions are mixed because it's not a great class. I mean, it's just, it's really hard to find a consensus of people that would stand on the table for any one of these linebackers. And because of that, look, in the Bloom 100, my first linebacker is 21st overall. My first IDP, obviously, first linebacker. Well, I shouldn't say obviously, because that's one of the things we have to unpack. You know, I have two linebackers ahead of the my first edge, and a third linebacker ahead of my second edge, and then a fourth linebacker not very far after. And when you consider the relative quality of the prospects, the statement I'm making here is that's how much positional value tilts the value of these players. And then the wide receiver classes at the top, the second tier, I should really say, is deep, really deep, like 12, 13, 14 deep. That's part of the reason that the first linebacker is 21, but not all the reason, because again, there's not going to be a first round linebacker. Y'all can even look at Jack Campbell last year, and he was not useful in fantasy leagues yet. And it's not to mean that he's a bust, because I still think he definitely has the ceiling that we envisioned, but this is now a delayed impact position. But still, that being said, I would rank a Jack Campbell still much higher in this class than I do the other linebackers. And I think part of the reason you're not getting a consensus is Peyton Wilson, it's just medical, I think. Edgerrin Cooper, it's hard to think of linebackers like the seek and destroy weak side type linebackers right now. Maybe it's just a stylistic, I haven't thought about it, but it doesn't seem like they are as prominent in the best of the best IDP linebackers. That type isn't hitting, but still I have them as late second round picks, mid second round picks, depending on how deep your league is. Colson is more of a, and as I wear my Michigan Wolverine shirt, we're gonna talk a lot of Michigan today. If we're talking defense, we're talking Michigan.
That's right.
And Colson is more ready-made for the NFL, but maybe doesn't have the ceiling athletically of a Cooper or a Wilson. But we also, because it's Jim Harbaugh, are thinking, well, how many Wolverines is he going to take? How many is he taking with him with the Chargers? Colson could certainly be one of them, and that would make him a lot more interesting. And then Trevon Wallace, who I think now and late in the process, you see his name a lot. And what he stands for is the NFL saying, well, at this position, we're just looking for traits and we think that we can help the development along, but we're valuing the traits. So from a traits standpoint, he's right there with Wilson. It's just the play, the marriage of traits to skills, to reading and reacting is not there. And then you can even go Jeremiah Trotter. And I don't mind. This is a great draft, guys, for sentimental. Wow, we're getting old. His son.
Yes.
Frank Gore's son.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yep. Marvin Harrison, my first pick in fantasy football.
I was at Syracuse University when Marvin Harrison was there. I mean, the McNabb Harrison, that was my college years, you know.
Wow.
And now his son is the premium, the generational prospect in this draft. So have some fun with it. Even though, if you want linebacker, off-ball linebacker help, I think you're better off looking for veterans at a discount. Yeah, use some picks if you have to. I think that is the way to fix your team right now, not through your rookie draft.
Yeah, Adam, let's kind of put sort of, as we wrap up the macro just kind of discussion of this draft, What do you think about Sig's comment there to punt IDP down a block or two from where maybe it would go in past years? I think there's a number of factors in play here. I think it is overall maybe not the strongest IDP class that we've seen. There is no like premier talent, like certified, this guy's going to be a stud, like stand out above the rest. And also the offensive class is just insanely deep.
That's what it is.
And that's where I'd rather take my shot. So I agree. This does feel like a year where there's going to be, if you have third, fourth round picks, you're going to be able to scoop up some nice IDP value. But if I'm sitting there in the second, I don't know that I necessarily want to be taking swings on IDP at that point.
No, I totally agree. I mean, there's like, what, 20 really good wide receivers, it seems, in this class? I mean, and then there'll be some running backs to get draft capital. You know, there's some solid tight ends outside of Brock Bowers, too. So, I mean, quarterback's good. I mean, this is, yeah, this is a loaded class offensively. One of the probably deepest classes we've had in a while. And then it is there. I think there's plenty of depth IDP wise. I mean, I do agree. I think that most people see it as they're not being much of a standout as far as the top three edge rushers go. People love linebackers. So, I mean, that's going to push those guys up the board always. But like Sig said, I don't really see a linebacker that I'm willing to chase.
No, just scoop up the value, right?
So the value is going to be defensive tackles, which there are two that I love in this class.
Yes, absolutely. We'll get to that in just a bit.
And then I think that there's some solid cornerbacks. You know, we play in leagues where pass deflections are worth 4 points. So there's some nice cornerbacks that I think you can get in the fifth round that would be very relevant. You could probably get Quinyon Mitchell in the fifth, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
There's Tyke Smith, Cole Bishop. There's a lot of these guys that I think I can get in the fifth round.
Or on waivers. After the rookie draft is over, right? There's so much value.
Exactly.
Sig, I'm curious. We kind of speculated here that in a, you know, we play five-round rookie drafts, and in deeper rookie drafts, obviously more IDPs will go, but 60 picks, one QB, PPR draft. We've speculated that maybe 15 to 20 IDPs will go in the top 60. You have eight inside your top 60. So, number one, why do you hate IDP?
Right.
I think is the first question we have to ask. Now, to be fair, you do have seven IDPs from 61 to 70. So, how many IDPs, though, in your rookie drafts, for example, how many IDPs, like what percentage of the pie do you think goes IDP in your rookie drafts?
20% or less. I mean, if everybody's drafting in a way that I think reflects the reality in these kinds of IDP leagues right now, okay? I think that it's, it's a combination of the off-ball linebacker class is just not great. We'll see about landing spots. But again, the third day pick landing spot linebackers can be there on the waiver wire. You don't necessarily need to spend picks on them. Edge is so deep now. And again, it might be so deep and scoring system and lineups are implicated here that the rational strategy might be to carry five or six edges and play matchups. Because if your scoring system is on point, a good week, like a two sack, two forced fumble week should almost win your week for you if your scoring system is on point. And that then would incentivize carrying more edge and boost edge value again back up, because now we're looking at edge as a matchup position primarily, and a position that we can soup up our lineup by trying to pick the highest value possible matchups week to week from a deep, because like you say, 41 players putting up these big games, and that's what you're chasing at the position. But I don't think IDP players have caught up to that yet. I think edge is still devalued because it's easy to find who you can play every week. But if you're paying attention, who's hurt or who's, you know, struggling, who's hot, whose team is hot, the matchups, now you can make a case to take one of these top three edge rushers in the second round. Again, if your scoring system's on point. And also, you know, some of the better positions, defensive tackle, cornerback, are devalued in most leagues. And I think this is a moment for everybody to look at their IDP league. And when potential changes are on the board, or when you're starting a new league, you want to make defensive tackle and cornerback matter. 4 points for cornerback pass deflections. Yes.
Yep.
You know, if you're not scaling the value of different contributions, you're not actually reflecting the reality of the game and making it so the game is interesting. You know, defensive lineman pass deflection should also be as good as a sack, or as good at least as more than a tackle. It's more valuable than a tackle. A pass defender from a defensive lineman is arguably the most valuable pass defended you can have. That should be scaled up. So part of the reason this IDP class is a bummer is because some of the better players are defensive tackles and cornerbacks, but you can circle back, and this is the guys in the 60s and 70s. And the reason is just because what's looming over this is that, you know, you can remember when you started out playing IDP fantasy football, you could build your team from the waiver wire, you know. I've won John Norton Red Eye Master League championship with like 7 or 8 players that were on the waiver wire in the previous week or two in my IDP starting lineup. And it's an IDP boosted scoring league. And I think that to go back to the point again of what you can do on the waiver wire, I think that following the news out of rookie mini camps, following the news out of OTAs, following the news out of training camp, you are more likely to take a minimal investment at IDP and really help your team than by taking players going IDP heavy in your draft, just because I think that much like you could build your team at some of these positions, safety, cornerback, you know, cornerback is a matchup-based position, and you can still play matchups from the waiver wire. You know, guys, you can find 6 or 7 guys a week. You're like, okay, these are all fine options, but who's got the best matchup? Who's the most likely to get a pick six or you know, get a sack and a route? So I think that it's easier to boost, to get reinforcements, dynasty reinforcements, by just being smart on the waiver wire and just exploiting the information gap or the dedication gap of other IDP teams than to spend your valuable picks. And, you know, even if you don't want to, if you don't like the offensive players, or you think, you know, you've had mixed bag, then trade your picks. Again, I'm going to say trading your picks for veteran. Everybody loves it in the NFL draft, right, guys? I know I'm going on for a while. Everybody loves it when teams trade picks for players that can help right now. And that might be, again, on the IDP side, the shark move this year.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was hoping you'd bring that up, Sig, because one of my favorite takeaways from our conversations was trade the pick. It's never more valuable than during the draft, right, on the clock. If someone is really into a prospect that's still on the board, you have an insane amount of leverage to then go out and get someone who could be an impact contributor for you.
Can I get Josie Jewell for 501?
Yes, right. Exactly. You know?
Probably so if you're on the clock.
Yes. For these unsexy linebackers, these fifth round kind of dart throws, I agree. I think that's the move this year because there will be some nice IDP talent on the board.
Yes, 100% agree. Also, Sig talking about the devaluing of the edge position. That's why we've been talking about positional requirements being so important. Most leagues, and I'd say most MFL leagues, RSO leagues, they're probably set up to where you start 2 defensive ends. In that type of setting, they're pretty much useless, honestly. So we're trying to champion the fact that if you play on sleeper, you should start 4 to 5 defensive linemen. If you play on RSO, MFL, you should start at least 3 defensive ends. That'll just help, you know, not make the free agency pool, you know, loaded full of solid talent. But also it just makes the position matter more. It's a position that should matter more. It shouldn't be a position that you can fade and stream, you know?
Well, yeah, and two, like my goal with a fantasy league is always to reflect the actual NFL as much as possible while still having it be a fun game that people enjoy playing. And we've talked about it all along. Who are the players getting paid buku bucks here in free agency? It's the Chris Joneses, the Christian Wilkins, it's the edge rushers, the Josh Allens, Danielle Hunters, Brian Burns, that are getting these outrageous contracts. So that is the position that the NFL decision makers value. So if your fantasy leagues are set up in such a way that those positions aren't devalued, I think it's worth having a conversation with yourself and with your league mates. Like, should we maybe make some changes here?
Yeah. Should we just start 2 linebackers?
Yes, exactly. I mean, that's
we don't want to be those guys. We understand linebackers fun. We want to start 3 or 4
We had this conversation on the last episode. Tripp said if you wanted to actually reflect the modern day NFL, you'd start probably 2 defensive tackles, 3 edge rushers, 1 linebacker, and like 4 to 5 DBs.
That
and
sounds so like heaven right there.
Yeah, right? I mean, that probably more accurately reflects what the NFL is doing and what it values right now. No, we love linebacker too much to fade it that much. But I think, yes, we are still kind of there. It is this relic of kind of the glory days for linebacker in the NFL, and that hasn't quite been caught up in fantasy leagues to this new reality that it's about passing the football and stopping the pass with edge rusher, interior pressure, and lockdown cornerbacks. Linebacker's just not a position that's valued anymore. So I think this is a good draft to scoop up the value at IDP late in your fourth, fifth round. Or I think the even smarter play, as Sig alluded to, is to trade that pick when you're on the clock. Go scoop up a veteran that you know is going to contribute to your teams right away. So talking about impact, though, Sig, I made the case on our last podcast that if you're looking for IDPs who can contribute in year one, I think you can make a very strong case for Iowa's Cooper DeJean. DB, is he a cornerback? Is he a safety? I don't know. We'll see. But I made the case, especially if he gets a kick and punt return role, he's a versatile player, freak athlete. He's going to get the draft capital that usually affords players IDP opportunity early on. So looking at those impact players in year one, Sig, who would be your choice from this rookie class?
Yeah, and I like your call there with DeJean. And I think that what's especially exciting about him from an IDP standpoint, again, one of the more perverse things about IDP fantasy football is the rookie corner rule, right? It's a, you know, first round rookie corner, probably going to play, probably going to get tested a lot of tackles, pass defended, maybe some big plays. And sometimes you even can watch a game and your rookie corner is struggling. And that's why he had 9 tackles, because the team was just going to continue to go after him. And I think DeJean absolutely, you know, some of his transitions to the top of his routes, that's why there's a question whether he's going to stay at safety. I mean, stay at corner or end up at safety. And teams are going to expose that. Teams are going to say, okay, well, if a team deploys him as a corner, if they deploy him as a safety, I think you might get corner eligibility in your league. And that's nice. Like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson had that a few years back. So if you can play a safety at cornerback, that's an edge. You got to take every edge you can. Speaking of an edge, like Latu right now, that would have been the perfect transition. Instead, I'm just going to talk about Terrion Arnold, just because he's a guy that, I mean, everybody had it, Kool-Aid McKinstry on the Alabama defense coming into this year, and Arnold should go significantly ahead of him, you know, 10 picks or more ahead of him. Just he's got everything you want, and he's on the ball, you know, passes defended, interceptions. He's very eager in run support. I think at 63 tackles. I think that he's going to be the guy who gets tested, and maybe by the end of the year, teams aren't testing him as much. We'll see. But I think that he's going to be a guy that right away is going to play and probably going to prove himself right away.
Yeah, we were having this conversation on the last episode, Sig, and kind of what brought this up is look back on the IDPs who made an impact in 2023. And you could make a very strong case that Devon Witherspoon, cornerback for the Seahawks, was the most impactful rookie for IDP fantasy football. Brian Branch, another great example, mm-hmm. sort of these, you know, cornerbacks, slot corner guys, because that, again, is what the NFL values. And when they take these players high in the draft, it's going to get them on the field earlier, and they're going to have a chance to contribute right away. So I love that you went with cornerback. I think that talking about finding the edges in your draft, I think not just skipping over these cornerbacks who could have 90 to 100% of snaps in their rookie year. Yeah, you could let them go to waivers and try to scoop them up afterward. But if I'm sitting in the third or fourth round, Daddy, like I'm putting my draft board together right now for our main draft, Cooper DeJean is going to be on my draft board just because I think he's going to have more impact than some of these, you know, linebackers who are going in the third, fourth, fifth round.
100%. And then he's going to get the return yardage. You know, if you're in a league that rewards return yardage, I mean, he's going to be a cheat code in that type of
format. With the new rules, especially. Yep. I mean, that's something to be thinking about, is who could have return possibilities from these rookie drafts.
Yeah. I love the Terrion Arnold call as well. He's one of the youngest players in the draft, just 21 years of age, 9.27 RAS.
So a freak athlete as well.
Also one of the best tacklers, 4.3 tackles per game. That was better than Cooper DeJean. It's just a really, really good rate for a cornerback. And then, yeah, I expect him to be drafted inside the top 20.
Absolutely.
And get him in the fifth round, just like Quinyon Mitchell, I bet. So that's a great call.
And I think you're going – Sig wanted to transition to edge with Latu, but I think you're actually going edge rusher for your most impactful one, Addy.
I am going to go edge rusher. I'm going to go with Dallas Turner.
Okay.
I think people are sleeping on Dallas Turner a little bit. I think Turner's going to land somewhere where he's immediately a top option. But yeah, I think just in terms of prospect and potential, I think Turner's pretty special. 21 years of age. That's 2 years younger than Versinlatu. Was a stud at Alabama and lit up the combine running a 4.46 40, recording a 40.5 inch vert and a 10.7 broad. But like Sig mentioned, the narrative stuff, once I dug into his background, I started to understand how special he is and how he's been around a lot of really good influences, starting with his dad. His dad played professional basketball. So, of course, Dallas Turner was a two-way athlete playing basketball and football all the way through high school. Love guys that are multi-sport athletes, especially basketball. Every basketball player I know immediately picks up every sport well.
Yes.
Great golfers always.
Yep.
Anyway, love a basketball player that plays football. In high school, football teammates were NFL players Patrick Surtain, the second, Tyson Campbell, and Anthony Schwartz. They were coached by Patrick Surtain. So, he transferred schools when he was a senior, and he was coached by NFL Hall of Famer Jason Taylor, who was the team's defensive coordinator.
Wow. That is an unbelievable background here.
Isn't that awesome? So for the youngins out there to listen to the pod, Jason Taylor has 139 and a half sacks for his career. That's seventh most all time.
He's a Hall of Famer, right?
Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Turner was the number one edge rusher in the 2021 recruiting class, and we know the rest. Went to Alabama, gets better and better every single year, received invaluable coaching lessons from Nick Saban, best buds with Will Anderson. Also, I love this. Remember Turner's weight at the combine? It was 247 pounds. So what'd you hear everyone say? Oh, he's maybe a little too small. Maybe he needs to bulk up. At his pro day, he was 256.
Okay, there you go. Already put on the weight. Already heard the feedback. Yeah. Took it in stride.
But no big deal. No big deal. Just 10 pounds in a month. No big deal.
No big deal.
Dude's a freak. I'm so excited for Dallas Turner. I think he's being a little slept on. I think you're going to be able to maybe get him like in the mid second. And man, I know the offensive class is really good and really deep, but I think Turner may be one of these guys that is immediately like a top 10 edge asset. Like there's a real chance that Turner has 10 sacks next year.
Could be. I mean, Sig, how do you see Turner stacking up against some of these other premier edge rushers we've seen come in here recently? The Aiden Hutchinsons, Will Andersons, Kayvon Thibodeaux. How does he stack up in your mind to some of the more recent prospects?
I mean, Thibodeaux would be the closest. I don't think he's Anderson. I don't think he's Hutchinson. I loved Hutchinson. I like how you didn't mention Travon Walker, even though he went ahead of Hutchinson. I think that Turner, you could see him with Will Anderson last year. You saw him really take a big step forward this year. What's interesting, too, is we can talk about his running mate, Chris Braswell. And I'm not going to say that Dallas Turner is going to bust like Bud Dupree. But we had a similar situation a few years back with Bud Dupree and Za'Darius Smith. Za'Darius Smith being more of a power player, not an athletic wonder, but certainly an advanced player if you were looking at strategies. And that's one of the things I think that is more difficult for us to see when we're watching edges from college. It's not so much the production, it's the how on the production that matters. And who they're facing also matters. And I do think that Turner, I think it's close enough. So here's the interesting question, guys. We can go to draft analyst mode, right? Atlanta, right? I mean, we're all thinking Atlanta, Dallas Turner, 8, Atlanta. However, 8 could be a really valuable trade down spot for Terry Fontenot and company if the last of the three receivers is still there, right? If we get J.J. McCarthy, fourth quarterback, assuming May and Daniels go 2 and 3 in some order. We got three wide receivers and Joe Alt. Everyone's putting Joe Alt in pen to Tennessee. So now if Rome Odunze or Malik Nabers is there, now we're talking if you're Atlanta, but how close do you have those three edges ranked? And again, with the medical question about Latu, and just the style, what's Raheem Morris looking for stylistically, maybe. But if they're close enough, then the trade down is the move here. Maybe to the Bills even, and try to trade back up for one of the other three due to Monty Austin Fort. But Dallas Turner as an Atlanta Falcon, a resurgent Atlanta Falcon team, with Kirk Cousins, I can't argue that he can have that kind of impact and be the premier rusher. You just wish he had a better running mate there to balance out the attention. Because, you know, just get off on a tangent really quick. Like, wow, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. We just take a moment and let that wash over us. We'll see what that's going to look like. The last thing I'm going to say, guys, just in a little cosmic connection here, Patrick, you guys were talking about Patrick Surtain, right? Do you know where Patrick Surtain went to high school?
No.
The answer is Edna Carr in New Orleans.
Oh,
subject of Across the River and Algiers, America. And I was just talking with one of my friends who's a high school defensive coordinator about Across the River. He did not, he had not read it. And now there's Algiers, America, the series, which is, it's not nearly as good as the book. And it's the year after the book. But you get to see the actual human beings. And it's more cinematic. It's not as nuanced or detailed. But I can tell you, Josh, that my wife quotes Coach Bryce Brown around the house now. I can't. It's a family show, so I can't quote him. So, you know, he's coaching our household, kind of.
Yeah, you'd love to see that. A very influential figure in both households and football fields. And that's probably my biggest recommendation is go check out that book, Across the River. Incredible, incredible story. But yes, that background, Addie, is very illuminating for me because we talk about it in sort of a joking way. It's like mentorship and, you know, who's he got around him. But you think about it in just actual human terms, having solid professionals, not only when you land your professional football job, but leading up to that, coming in, understanding what it means to be a professional. A lot of guys struggle with that. A lot of guys flame out for that reason. And Dallas Turner, I think, is going to have it between the ears. Broke out at a young age. And so, yeah, I think the stars are aligning for this guy to be a potentially special talent.
Exactly. I mean, combine, amazing. Early production in Alabama, amazing. But honestly, this stuff was maybe just as impressive as all that.
Yes.
You know, and especially after having kids, you realize just how important, you know, development and having positive influences around, you know, people is. And yeah, it absolutely matters.
It's hard to quantify, but we know it matters.
So much, so much. And you just, you know, he's just soaking so much in from all these different influences.
Jason Taylor as your defensive coordinator?
Jason Taylor, love Nick that. Saban, Pat Surtain.
Will Anderson.
His dad was a professional basketball player. So just having that, you know, that ground laid out for you, your dad being able to tell you what it takes to be a professional. I mean, it's just, you can't, that's just, you can't put a price on that. It's just insane.
Yeah, that's a good background there, Addie. Nice job by you. We talked about impact.
Thank you, Dane Brugler.
Yes, thank you, Dane, for the beast as well. Make sure y'all check that out, theathletic.com. We talked about impact rookies, and a lot of the guys that we mentioned here, I think all the guys that we mentioned, in fact, probably going to be first-round picks in the NFL draft. So, Sig, impact, though, can come from players outside of some of the top 100 or so players drafted. Last year, we saw a couple of players pop who were third round picks and undrafted, and Yaya Diaby, Ivan Pace Jr. I know it's hard to prognosticate and forecast players that will get that kind of opportunity, but do you have maybe some selections of guys that you think kind of fit that archetype of the third round drafted edge rusher, not in that top three or four, and then the undrafted linebacker who could potentially be a spark plug for a defense once he gets on the field, like Ivan Pace Jr.? Anyone stand out to you in this class like that?
Yeah, it's a fun class. Every class is fun, even though this isn't a great class for IDP value in rookie drafts. It's a great class in terms of learning these stories and seeing exactly what these teams are getting and how it's going to change their destiny. And a player that could change a team's destiny, an edge, and you say a third round edge. Now, I don't even know if Austin Booker's going to last to the third round. So I debated whether having him as the answer here, but you have a guy who barely played until last year and transferred. And that's a whole other topic about how many different schools you see and how that's going to affect development of players overall. But Booker was highly productive in a rotational role, and the athleticism combined with the wingspan, the frame, and that he's still just scratching the surface of what he can do. But his, when I watch edge rushers, guys, I want to see hand fighting. I want to see aggression. You know, he's there, even though he's just getting started. Even though he's just getting started, he has combo moves. He can turn the corner. He looks advanced. If you watch him play, go pull up Austin Booker. You will not believe that he barely played until last year. So where's the arrow pointing? The arrow is pointing up. The arrow might be pointing steeply up. That's why I think he may not even last until the third round. So yeah, that's a guy. And that's a guy, depending on where he lands, you know, put him on the Rams. Yeah.
Yes, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. You know, say he's the second round pick of the Rams. Now I am maybe saying, okay, I will take an IDP. I'll make sure to reserve a pick for him. As far as the linebacker, I'm kind of cheating here when I say James Williams. But James Williams, and this goes back to the conversation about well, teams don't really have a lot of roles for classic off-ball linebacker types anymore, and that's why the pool is dwindling in addition to the rule change in IDP leagues about positional eligibility. So James Williams is a archetype of a player that the NFL didn't know what to do with 10 or 15 years ago. One of my favorite games to play right now, this time of year, guys, is where would this player have been drafted 10 years ago?
Yes.
Where would this? Because it shows how the NFL changes. It shows how it's always in motion. It's one of the reasons it stays stimulating for us year after year. And James Williams is that 6'4", 220, 230-ish guy that's not quite a safety, not quite a linebacker. He could be potentially a tight end eraser. And again, when Big Nickel is the base set, basically, in the NFL right now, he's a nickel linebacker. So I think that this is a guy that is going to fall still because, again, teams, well, is a safety, is he going to be deficient or is he's not a linebacker? But I think actually that role, that hybrid role, is what defenses need right now. So again, he's a player maybe will go higher than I think, but I know in the Beast he was projected as a sixth or seventh rounder. So I'm looking for that in my very deep leagues, or again, ready to poise on the waiver wire to strike the first positive news about him.
Yeah, two good choices. I remember we had a conversation about Austin Booker. I think that was one of Bobby's picks in our rookie mock draft, Addy. And I could absolutely see, especially if he gets the draft capital, lands in a spot. I mean, that was Yaya Diaby, athletic freak we've talked about. Landed in a nice spot, soft depth chart ahead of him. Shaq Barrett, who gets, you know, let go a year later, and Joe Tryon Shoyinka, who he replaces midseason. So I could absolutely see Austin Booker fitting that archetype. I went with Adisa Isaac. This was Sig's 99th ranked player. It's Dane's 7th ranked edge, 2nd, 3rd round grade. Sig, you said Isaac has the athleticism, motor, and frame to be a starter. Dane said he has something to offer in any NFL scheme as a role player with starting upside, similar to Philadelphia's Josh Sweat. 8.82 RAS, so a pretty good athlete. I think he'll be in that 2nd to 3rd round mix, so that was my pick. And then for Ivan Pace, I think there's a couple interesting candidates here. I think Tyrese Knight is a guy that you could point to who could potentially get drafted. So I don't know if he necessarily fits this exercise, Addy. We've talked about Jalen Ford a lot as well. I know Mike brought him up out of Texas. There's Edifuan Ulofosio out of Washington. Freak athlete. Mm-hmm. Pretty good producer. I think he fits the bill as well. What are your picks, though, for Yaya Diaby, Ivan Pace Jr., 2024 edition?
Yeah, I didn't really do the Ivan Pace one, but I'd say like Tommy Eichenberg, Someone like that. You know, we didn't think Ivan Pace Jr. was going to be undrafted either, but that's just the way it goes with these linebackers, you know, these days. So I'm going to go with Jonah Ellis.
Yes.
Another one of them damn Ellis boys.
I know. This is growing these guys in a factory somewhere.
Listen to this, dude. Jonah's dad played DT for the Detroit Lions. His brothers, Caden, Noah, and Christian, are all in the NFL right now. He has one younger brother that is a freshman defensive tackle at Snow College, which was confirmed real after a quick Google search.
Snow College? Snow? Yes.
Snow College. And another younger brother that signed with Utah as a 3-star edge rusher in the 2024 recruiting class. So every single one of the Ellis boys are defenders.
Can you imagine if you were the Ellis brother who's like, I just want to be a doctor or like go to art school?
Can you
school?
Imagine if you were the Ellis sister?
Yes, exactly.
That would be terrible.
Yes.
She's an athlete too. She played basketball.
Wow.
College basketball somewhere. Yeah. So
you got to be an athlete if you're in the Ellis family is what we're learning.
Very good genes. But yeah, a lot to like about Jonah Ellis. 6'2", 248, 79-inch wingspan. He posted 37 tackles, 16 TFLs, 12 sacks across 10 games in his final season at Utah. He had a very successful pro day where he had a notable 6.69 3-cone. One of the things I track in my dynasty rankings is combine and pro day performance. I have over 170 edge rushers ranked. Jonah Ellis's 6.69 3-cone was number one among all edge rushers.
Wow.
Number two was Von Miller. Number three was Aiden Hutchinson. Pretty good company.
That's one of those drills I feel like that's probably pretty strongly correlated with edge performance.
Measures bend, measures explosion.
Yeah.
He didn't do the 40. So I don't know why he was scared to compete there, but
don't be scared to compete.
But that 3-cone more than makes up for it. I imagine he's going to be maybe around that 3rd, 4th round as well. But I chose Jonah Ellis. I was also thinking Austin Booker. Both those guys kind of remind me a lot of each other.
Yeah, there's Sig. There's a it seems like the big fat middle of the IDP class for most positions is got some nice flavor, some nice variety, some nice talent this year. Sometimes that drop off for these classes can be a little steep. I feel like, especially once you get past the top three or four at each position, it's kind of like Baskin Robbins, 31 flavors. What do you like? Pick your flavor. And that kind of makes a draft fun as well.
Yeah, well, in the situation we've talked about also, I think that's another thing that will guide us and it will change our view of players. And we should trust our intuition on that when we see player, whether it's a path to value or just feeling like this franchise, this coaching staff is going to, this scheme is going to maximize its value. So I do think patience will probably be rewarded for IDPs. And again, that's, you know, just the extra layers of strategy in rookie drafts. It makes it that much more fun. And especially when we're going to get the level of looking over these players and seeing who we like, because still, as you know, we're going to get to why I wore this Michigan shirt. I still think that part of the fun, once you get to know the defensive side of the ball and the players and the personalities and the styles of play, is having that being fantasy football is still a way for us to share a little bit in greatness, just a little bit, just a tiny little bit, you know, get a little bit of that exhilaration. And when you find the players that you watch and you like that style, that way of going about your job, that's the kind of thing I want on my team when reenacting why we got into this in the first place.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to have fun with fantasy, folks. It is meant to be fun. It's meant to be enjoyable. And
not too much fun, though.
Yeah,
Josh.
Not too much fun. It is. You need to be serious. You got to take it just a little bit serious. But speaking of fun, one of the things I always like to ask people when we're discussing rookie drafts or startup drafts or free agent auctions is, who is the guy that you are putting the star next to? You are making sure that you are leaving your draft with this player. And for a lot of folks, this question is fun because it can be, well, I love this guy so much, I'm willing to take him early. Or it's, I love this guy and he's a sleeper, so I know he'll be there at the back of my drafts. I mean, that was Sione Vaki for Scott Soltis, the running back slash safety. I was like, is he going to be drafted in your drafts? He's like, yes, because I am going to be drafting him in the sixth or seventh round. So, Sig, who is the IDP that you will be leaving every rookie draft with this season?
Yeah, the serious answer is Trevin Wallace, Kentucky and trade space guy. And I say that just because I think, I don't know if IDP, watch him go in the third round or maybe even in the top three linebackers, and then people will take him. But right now, I think he's underrated. But the fun answer, the guy I really want to talk about, the reason I wear the Wolverines shirt, other than just we're going to see so many Michigan Wolverines drafted, a record probably this upcoming draft, is Mikey Sainristil still. And as I said in the Blue 100, I like the idea of embracing this new archetype, is that the gremlin, you know, the chaos creator at slot corner. And we get hung up on snaps a lot in IDP, and they're not necessarily 100% of the time snap players. Some of them are, but when they're hot, when they're on, Mike Hilton, I mean, I'm a Steelers guy, you know, Mike Hilton, Kenny Moore has had some runs, right? And again, like, you're employing this chaos creator for your team. So on a Sunday that he is successful rushing the quarterback, that he's successful as that robber. Brian Branch was doing this last year. Again, when they make plays, they make impact plays. And I think Sainristil is one of those guys. And here's the other thing. How many times are some of the best picks in your IDP drafts are players that are like, he's everything you want, but just he's a little small.
Yep. Yep.
You know, I mean, that's Sainristil. And if you watched Michigan, you know, we have Barrett was a team captain. He's in this draft. Colson, obviously, he's kind of like the quarterback and the linebackers. But I feel like Sainristil was the spirit. You know, he was the spark plug of that defense, that national championship winning defense.
Yeah, I think what Sig is trying to say is the dog is strong with Mikey Sainristil.
He got that dog in him.
He does.
Too and long that, didn't read.
He and that's going to get you on the field. Like, yep. It's another thing we joke about, but like, coaches want to see you compete. It's the reason you hear every athlete when they're giving these interviews about what's training camp been like, what's it like to be a, you know, we just compete, we get better every day. Like, that is such a cliche, but it's so true. If you got that dog, you're probably going to get a chance to see the field.
Absolutely. And, but I mean, it's essential for that position too. I mean, every single one of those corners that's good, they all love to yap, you know?
Yep.
So, yeah, that does a lot for the defense too. I mean, defense is such a position that's generated, you know, from effort and mm-hmm. motor. Like, guys like that, man, they will fit in for a long time.
Yeah. You got to be a little bit of a head case because yeah. it is such a, like, a enforcer persona. Like, you got to be able to, like, impose your will on the offense and be that rock against which the wave of the offense's progress crashes. And you have to have that mama mentality, especially when you're on an island with some of the freakiest athletes in the world playing wide receiver. You have to have that killer mindset. So I'm with you, Sig. I think Mikey Sainer still is going to be a surprise because he has that something that you can't quite quantify, which is that dog mentality. So I love that pick. And then yeah, Trevin Wallace, it seems like him and Jeremiah Trotter Jr. are on a bit of this seesaw where Trevin Wallace is one of those guys that's rising as Trotter Jr. kind of slides a little bit. We'll see. I think there is a chance he ends up maybe the third linebacker off the board behind, you know, Junior Colson, Peyton Wilson, Edgerrin Cooper type. So wide open there how that linebacker order shakes out. My pick, not to bring up Cooper DeJean again, but it is him. That is my choice. Otherwise, we didn't show a lot of love to these guys, but Byron Murphy, Jerzon Newton. I'm looking for those, that onesie position. We've talked about this a lot. If I can lock down, that's why I took Jalen Carter 302 in last year's draft, is if I can lock down a onesie position with a guy who's going to be a top 3 to 4 asset, probably end of his first year, beginning of his second year, that's very appealing to me. Taking the top talent at their position versus maybe the 5th, 6th, or 7th edge rusher or linebacker, give me that all day long. But those are my two choices. Addy, what say you?
What are you spending, though, for DeJean?
For DeJean, I will spend a third-round pick.
301?
301's a little too rich, but like 305 and after, yes. And I've got two late third-round picks. And trust me when I say, Cooper DeJean is on the board for those picks.
I think you may have to trade up a little bit.
Think so?
I think so. So I'm a lot of fun at parties. For me, it's going to all depend on value. Never want to enter a draft room with your mind made up.
Boo.
You never want to do that, boys. You boys failed this question. Hate to see it. Hate to see what you've done.
We stepped up and it was a big old whiff.
Yep. Hate to see it. But first round, so I'll just answer based on what rounds I'm taking IDPs in. First round, probably not taking any IDPs. Second round, I may take some Dallas Turner.
Okay.
If I'm in a spot. If people want to be silly and let him slip to mid-second, I may try and get in on that action.
And we've seen that with some mocks that we've done. He's gone 207, back half of the second round.
Third round, I'll take DeJean, Peyton Wilson, Verse, or Latu. Fourth round, I'm going to take Murphy. Although I think Murphy is a fine third round pick. I just don't know that you have to do it. I feel like one of these defensive tackles is going to slide, so I'll take whichever one does. Fourth round, Murphy, Newton, Chop Robinson, Edgerrin Cooper, Junior Colson, Cedric Gray. I'd be fine with any of those guys there in that spot. And then fifth round, Cole Bishop, Tyke Smith, Quinnon Mitchell, Mike Sanders still. Shout out Sig.
Shout out Sig. There you go. Yeah.
And that's all low cost. You know, that's another thing why I love that call from Sig. I mean, they're going to be cheap. Like there's some talented defensive backs that do have that dog in them that you can get late.
That's right. So Sig, we like to wrap up every one of these conversations that we have each year. Rookie drafts are going to be happening here very soon. As people hear this, they may be less than a week out from their rookie draft. Who knows? So I always like to just tee you up here as we sign off. Any piece of advice for someone who is going into the rookie draft? Maybe they don't have a lot of experience. They're newer to Dynasty. What's just a little nugget of wisdom that you would have for folks as they head into their rookie drafts this year?
Be active. Play the game. Swing your sword. Do it. Just like NFL teams, you know, light up the phones, take some stands, put some of your beliefs into action, you know, and it can include, I mean, look, if your belief is like the classic NFL trade value chart, always trade down, then put that into action. Just put it into action. We're not as good at picking out who the best talents are as we think. So put it into action, turn your earlier picks into later picks and future picks and improvement of future draft capital or veteran help for your team, whatever you think. Be active and enjoy this part of it, because I think it is where our styles, our beliefs, our backgrounds, what makes all of us different as fantasy football GMs is most diverse. So it's a time when you really can make your team more reflective of yourself. And I always circle back to the therapy, to the, it's the shed, guys, right? It's the shed. I mean, let's be real. The first safe space was the man cave.
It's true.
The first place where you could go and say, I just want to be myself and have no one criticize me for who I am. That's the man cave.
That's right.
You know, that's fantasy football. And women should have caves too. Everybody should have a safe space. But I think that our fantasy football, when we're thinking about it, when we're managing our teams, it's a peaceful place for us, and it's a stimulating and enjoyable place. And in no time is it more enjoyable when you approach the complex puzzle of how to spend your draft capital.
I think my piece of advice would be get in front of Adam if you want Cooper DeJean in the third round, or if you want Dallas Turner in the second. No, I think this is a good year to, depending on what you need, if you need IDP, if you want to kind of target some of these IDPs, trade back, get future draft capital. If you're in a spot where you're just like, meh, throw the pick out there, see if you can get some veteran help. I think that advice always applies. But yeah, I don't think you have to reach. That's kind of my big takeaway looking at this class, adding in the sort of draft approach for this year, is don't reach for IDP. There's going to be plenty of value. Load up on offense early in your drafts and stay water. You know, have some guys that you like, have a board, but be willing to pivot and move, as let the board come to you. Don't try to force things.
Yeah, and don't disregard those late picks, those fourth, fifth round picks. I mean, in classes like this, I mean, they have a chance to be really, really valuable. So yeah, I mean, like you mentioned, stay active, stay water. Also, don't be a dick. You know, in Dynasty, there's a chance for you to be a dick a lot, because you can think that you know everything and be right. But keep an open mind, be humble, be willing to learn always. Dynasty is the best.
Yeah. Sig, I think that struck a chord with you.
Yeah. Well, no, I think because it's always relationships. It's always relationships. Just like in the NFL. How are trades going to get done during the draft, guys? Is it just through a keyboard, a screen? You send it like an instant message. Hey, you want to trade these picks? A lot of these picks that are traded for players, it starts with a relationship between two people in two different organizations. And that's how it works in fantasy leagues too. So this is an opportunity where there's a lot of interaction going on with your fellow the GMs, and just how you handle those interactions. Do you send a counter? Or if you don't want to send a counter, like, oh, I'm staying here. Like, just being friendly down here in New Orleans, we say hi to each other, you know, being friendly. And it gives you better chances to get something done now and get something done in the future. I will give one piece of concrete advice, even though it's not IDP specifically IDP based, it's IDP rookie draft based. I will give one concrete piece of advice. I think it's totally reasonable to go like Mike Ditka and trade your whole rookie draft for the third of the three receivers, and then put it out there. You know, like if your team was successful last year, you're sitting at like 112 or 110, and Roma Dunze is still there. Like, you know, and I think even Brock Bowers. So you know, you get all of these guys. Let's see where Bowers ends up. Top four. This top four. Especially if you're in a super flex league, recorded the quarterbacks are going to get interspersed. By the way, as we're recording, guys, it sounds like the Jaden Daniels thing is like disintegrating with Washington. So that's creating more uncertainty. So just jump up and get that third wide receiver, that player, or Brock Bowers. That player could go number one overall in many of our previous rookie drafts. So be willing to give up that kind of price to get that guy.
All right, there you go. I'm sitting at 103 in our main league and open for business.
That's where you want to be.
That's where you want to be, I think. Yeah, I think it's a pretty clear top three.
Yeah.
And
especially in one QB.
Yes, yeah. Especially in one QB.
Very shallow.
Superflex is a little, you know, Superflex tight end premium is a little different, but love that call there, Sig. We know that you all will be all over the draft coverage, Sig. I think you all have your live stream that you'll be doing during the draft. But let the folks know, what can they look forward to from you coming up here as we get into this week and the weeks to come? What do you have coming up?
Yeah, I'm going to be doing a lot of shows now, talking about the Blue 100 and the draft and all this stuff. During the first round, our YouTube channel will be live. Me and Matt Waldman, Jason Wood, and a bunch of guests just hanging out, talking, reacting, experiencing it together, really. And then Cecil and I will record our division by division draft recaps. Those will probably start coming out the week after draft. I'll update the Bloom 100. I'll have it up by Tuesday. If you want to, you know, shoot me a note on Twitter. If you have a rookie draft going on and you want me to weigh in, I'll do my best to get at that. But I'll have the updated rank up on Tuesday at some point.
It's going to be a week of good content. Make sure you're checking out footballguys.com. One of the best websites out there for offensive and IDP coverage. Make sure you're subscribed to the Audible so you can hear those division by division draft recaps. And you can find all of Sig's work, including the post-draft Bloom 100 over at footballguys.com. And Sig, we look forward to having you back on the show here in the very near future. Always enjoy our chats. We'll be doing a round one recap, me, Adam, and Bobby, Thursday night, Friday morning in your podcast feed, and then talking with John Macri, recapping best and worst landing spots Saturday night. So you'll get that late Saturday, early Sunday, and we'll have a ton of great draft content coming for you guys as well. So thank you all for listening. Enjoy the draft, and we will see you guys here soon.